Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
I love you. Let your righteousness fill me. Let your righteousness fill me, Lord, as I worship you.
And now, here's Gary.
We have been sharing on the corporate Christ, and this is part four. We left off last time speaking about a priest being filled with God. A priest is not one who just works for God, but a priest is one who is saturated and permeated with God. With a true priest, it's not a matter of study. It's not a matter of learning. There is an outward flow of an inward life. And when that life begins to flow, it will minister and water the seed of God's life that's in all of humanity. The Apostle Paul said that we are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That is true of our spiritual being. That in our spiritual being, in our true nature, is the divine essence of all that He is. And that divine essence must saturate and permeate every area of our soul. It must flow in to our mind and renew our mind. It must flow into our will so that we become pliable to do His will. And it must flow into our emotions so that we have the proper compassion and all the attributes of God to allow Christ to flow out of our spirit or from our spirit into our soul so that our soul is transformed and our soul is joined with our spirit so that there is no longer any separation, but that our mind is renewed into the mind of Christ. And Jesus gave us a word that in this saying alone will transform our soul into the likeness and image of God. He said in John chapter 6 and verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me." So in John chapter 6, Jesus gives us the key on how to live as he lived while he was on this earth. And it is simply to eat him and drink him and breathe him. When we eat spiritual food, it enters into us and we assimilate that food and it becomes a part of us. The spiritual food is no different. The more that you eat spiritual food, the more you will find that your soul will come in alignment with your spirit. David, it is said, was a man after the Lord's own heart. David said many years ago, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." When you begin to taste of real spiritual food, you will enter the joy of the Lord and discover also that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So we need to eat Jesus and assimilate the life of Jesus into us. And a good way to do that is to meditate upon his life. As you read the Gospels, Jesus said that "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." We all know that he didn't come to set up a new religion. He didn't come to raise the standard of living higher. He came to reveal to us that we have the same life and nature as he had. So when we read through the Gospels and we contemplate the life of Jesus, we must realize that we are looking into the mirror of our own life. And that as we continue to meditate on his life, that as we meditate on his life and realize that everything that Jesus is, we are. The scriptures plainly say that as he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was, a limited man of Galilee, but as he is now. As the man of Galilee, he was limited in his ability. But today, as the corporate Christ, the same spirit that was in Christ, is now been activated in his corporate body on the earth. What a wonderful opportunity was given to live as he lived while he was on this earth, fully trusting his Father to live through him. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So as we look into the life of Jesus, we look into the glory of the Lord, because Jesus was the expressed image of God. Jesus was the glory of God. And as we behold him as in a mirror, we shall be changed. So many today are still trying to live their Christian life through study, through struggling, and through trying to work out their own faith, instead of trusting God that dwells within the deepest recesses of their being to bring about and to cause everything that they need for a transformed life to come and flow from their very innermost being. We can see by 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, that Christ is a corporate body. Paul says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Isn't it amazing that so many can read this verse, or these two verses, and see very plainly and very clearly that the church is one body, we've all been baptized into one Spirit, and we've all been made to drink of the Spirit. Yet the situation that we see with our physical eyes on the system of Christianity that's out there, it's no wonder they can't really believe these verses. Because if we really have our eyes unveiled to see the truth, just think of it, that all of us, whether you be Baptist or Lutheran or Catholic or Pentecostal, male or female, black or white, if you see this, you realize that all of us collectively are one body on the earth. And this is the goal, is for that one body to realize its oneness and drop all of the divisiveness, drop all the ungodly bickering and bitterness and animosity toward one another, and begin to truly treat one another, treat each other as a member of the body of Christ. What a blessing and what a revelation the church, the corporate body, would come into were they to have this revelation. We need so desperately to rise above our natural carnal thinking. We need to shake ourselves from the very dust of the earth and arise and put on the righteousness of God. Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere, with himself. When we realize the truth of these scriptures, it will cause us to seek God with all of our heart. It will cause us to take the time in our daily life to be quiet and to sit and to open our hearts and to listen for that still, small voice. For he will guide each of us individually and lead us into all truth. When we begin, each way, to walk in the reality of the corporate Christ on the earth, there will be no more big me's and little you's. No longer will you have to depend upon a pastor or a prophet or a teacher to lead you and to guide you. For that same anointing that abides in you, as the scriptures say, will teach you all things. And Jesus said that the Spirit would bring all things to your remembrance. And 1 John said that you have an anointing and you know all things. So when we are filled with him and clothed with him, When we meet together as the church, we will be built up together by His life flowing from our innermost being. Wherever you find a group of people who have begun to walk in the revelation of the corporate Christ, a group of people who really know the truth of their identity, not just intellectually. There's so many people today who can say, I am Christ. I know my true identity. I know who I am. I know I'm complete in Him. And yet, when it comes to a spiritual meeting, so many still have to go and sit and be quiet and listen to one man share instead of the corporate man sharing. This is an Old Testament concept. What God is bringing forth today is not the individual standout preachers and teachers and pastors and prophets. What God is bringing forth today is the corporate man upon the earth. The corporate Christ is the Melchizedek priesthood. And the Melchizedek priest comes to you with the bread of His word and the wine of His enjoyment. As the corporate Christ begins to take the time in their daily lives to eat and to drink and to breathe Jesus, take the time to sit in the quiet and listen. As you do that, you begin to experience God in your daily life. You begin to hear God speak to you. You begin to have revelation come to you. You begin to have such a deep experiential walk with the Father that when you come together with the saints, you won't want to just sit and listen to one man preach or tell you of his experiences. But as the corporate Christ who has been feeding upon Christ all day in their daily life, as you come together, there will be such excitement and many will have a word to share and not just one man. God's ultimate intention is incarnation. And when our soul begins to submit unto our spirit, when the two begin to come into oneness, we begin to realize so deeply in the deepest recesses of our being, we begin to realize that we are one with God, that we are the manifestation of God on this earth. And that as we become one with God and our soul is reunited to our spirit in oneness, that once again God will walk and live and breathe and function in all of His beauty in these temples. No longer will we take thought for what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall put on. But Christ, as the living water, will flow out of our innermost being. We realize the truth of the Apostle Paul's word, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We realize that as we speak, it is God speaking. As we minister the word, it is God speaking. No longer are we fearful. There was a time when I was so frightened that I couldn't even stand up amongst a group of people in church and give a testimony. Oh, but once that living water begins to flow, once Christ begins to be formed in us, once that love of God begins to fill us, all fear just falls at our feet. I find now that I can stand before two or three, or I could stand before thousands with no fear. For I know that out of my innermost being will flow those living waters that will bring healing and restoration. Out of my innermost being will flow words of spirit and life that will enter into the hearts of those who are hearing and begin to cause that seed of life that's deep within them to begin to spring forth. There's a great awakening taking place on the earth today. People from all tongues, all nations, all cultures, all religions are feeling the drawing of God. The barriers of religious walls are being torn down, and people are beginning to flow together in love, realizing that intellectual doctrines do not unify, but only divide. Paul said many years ago, not to let the winds of doctrines blow you away from the reality of Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 13, until we all arrive in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we see here that doctrine can be a wind that will carry you away from the reality of Christ. You can believe so strongly in a doctrine that you will let it carry you away from the reality of Christ because you will not fellowship with someone else who is not in agreement or even opposes that doctrine. There are many, many, many winds of doctrine in the church today. Or in the system of Christianity today. There are so many doctrines that divide. There are so many different belief systems. And until we realize that it's not what we believe intellectually that makes us one, but it is in our hearts to unconditionally embrace all of humanity, knowing that each and every individual has that spark of divine life. Jesus was that true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And it is our privilege to speak life and not death. It is our privilege to speak life and not doctrine. It is our privilege to speak words that will cause that spirit on the inside of them to ignite and to begin to rise up so that they too begin to have the revelation of the reality of being a son or daughter of God. Doctrine in most cases in Christianity has been placed in a higher position than unconditional love. You know, we all have doctrine. And doctrine can be a good thing for you, but it should never become a divisive factor between you and another believer. Because our oneness is not in intellectual beliefs. Our oneness is not in doctrine. Our oneness is Christ. As we learn how to fellowship in love, as we learn how to release from our innermost being that life of love that He is, then we can fellowship regardless of our differences, regardless of what we believe about baptism or Holy Spirit speaking tongues, no matter what our belief system is. When we come into the reality of Christ in us, and we begin to experience that unconditional love flowing from our being, we are then able to fellowship and minister to all without any prejudices whatsoever. So he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We are both human and divine. Many have been taught, or perhaps thought, that their humanity was a bad thing. But look at the humanity of Jesus. The finest humanity that ever lived. In that same life and that same spirit in us, is functioning and lifting our humanity into the fine, uplifted humanity of Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. As we meditate on him and spend time with him, he works his character into our soul. It is God that works in you, Paul said, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we can just learn to trust that God in us is well able to do that which he desires for us to do. It is never up to our effort or up to our abilities to try to do that which he's planned for us. It is simply as we rest, knowing that he that began a good work in us will complete it. Knowing that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can never know true peace and rest until we begin to have an understanding and a revelation of some of these simple scriptures. It truly is God who is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As we've seen earlier, that we have been predestinated even before the foundation of the world. We've been called and predestinated and justified and sanctified. We've been set apart. And all we need to do is simply to trust. Trust that God is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. We are the house and the habitation of God through the Spirit. God is building the house, not man. Oh, we are simply here to enjoy life, to be full of life, and to appreciate life. We are mingled with the Lord and have become one with him for his purpose on the earth. We are beginning to realize that his works were finished from before the foundation of the world. And we are just walking out in this reality. We are just walking out what God has already planned and purposed and finished. We are on a wonderful journey of walking from flesh into spirit until we can fully reveal and manifest God in all of his fullness. All of creation is waiting for the fullness, the complete, the corporate Christ to stand upon his feet on the earth and to minister reconciliation to all of God's creation. The Holy Spirit flowing in us strengthens and energizes us. No longer do we feel weak and incapable of doing that which the Lord would ask us to do. But like Joshua and Caleb, we realize that we are well able to take the land because it is not taking the land with our carnal humanity, but it is allowing the Christ to rise up within us. And it is the anointing, it is the Christ within us that overcomes every area of our being. It is the flowing of Christ in us that strengthens us and energizes us and defeats all of the bitterness and the anger and the resentments and the animosity. It is the Christ flowing in us that strengthens us and gives us such an overwhelming love for humanity. The Holy Spirit flowing through us is what purifies us and transforms us. The Spirit is a fire that purifies and transforms, that burns out everything in our being that's not according to his will and his purpose. So as we continually take that time in his presence to allow that fire in us to burn brightly and to purge out all the old carnal thinking, purge out all the religiosity, it is the Spirit of fire that purifies and sets us apart to do the mighty works of God. So let us take time to assimilate God into us. We must eat him, drink him, and breathe him. To eat him is to take his word into us, not the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word. To drink him is to experience his life strengthening us and energizing us. As the spirit, he is like the very air that we breathe. He's so available and so rich and so free to just breathe him in. Just to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. It's like taking a breath of fresh air. So let us eat him and drink him and breathe him. Let us meditate upon him until we, as the corporate man, come to completeness so that he can fulfill his plan and purpose for the earth.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.